Meanwhile, thousands of Kurds have rallied in towns across Turkey's southeast on the 16th anniversary of the detention of Abdullah Öcalan, the leader of the outlawed PKK group. Some of the demonstrators clash with police. Now protesters call for the immediate release of Öcalan. Ankara blames the leader of the Kurdistan Workers' Party for the deaths of tens of thousands of people in the group's 30-year armed struggle with the Turkish army. But for many of Turkey's estimated 15 million Kurds, Öcalan represents their struggle for greater cultural and political rights. At least six people were killed during similar protests last month over Ankara's reluctance to help defend Kurds in Syria's Kobani. Well, turning to New York, joined by senior analyst, Foreign Policy in Focus, Mr. Ian Williams. Thank you so much for being with us. How do you see the situation in Turkey? Do you think that the Turkish government is ready to work with the Kurds in a way? Of course, I'm sure they will not allow the leader of the PKK to be free. But do you think that they are willing to make some concessions because we see continually, basically, that the Kurds are showing their lack of happiness and trust with the Turkish government?
Well, the fact that they are able to do so publicly is a testament to the change that's happened since Erdogan took office in Turkey. And his party has made overtures to people like the Fanariot Greeks, even to some extent the Armenians and the Kurds, far more so than the old-style Republicans, the Turkish secularists, who were absolutist that there's only one Turkish nation. So he's already made concessions. They are talking to Öcalan, and they are talking to the PKK. And the problem is that they're under constraint because the Turkish military is still filled with people who hate the PKK. For all of these years, the Turkish media have followed the previous government's line and stigmatized the Kurds first of all, non-existent, and then secondly, terrorists. So there's a lot of complicated debris on both sides. Öcalan, in his sense, seems to have had a new sense of realism while he's been imprisoned and is prepared to talk and perhaps make concessions. But he's got people, even though he's a sort of charismatic and, in fact, disturbingly autocratic leader in one sense, he's also got to win over all of the people who are not in prison, who mightn't agree with him. So it's a very complicated process. And what complicates it even further, of course, is the situation in Iraq and Syria and Iran. And hovering in the background is the fact that the Israelis have been meddling all along, since they've often seen the Kurds as a sort of a knife into the soft underbelly of the Arab world.
Do you think the Kurds, some of them were upset? What they said was the lack of involvement by Ankara in dealing with the situation in Kobani. Do you think that has affected overall the Kurds' lack of trust towards the Turkish government, or how do you see it?
Well, no, that was clearly, it was something that reflected, since the Kurds, they're the same people both sides of the border, and they don't recognize it. They saw the compatriots being murdered and massacred, attacked, and nothing being done to help them. And yet, it's always very difficult because, on the other hand, the Turks have resolutely don't want to be seen as the West surrogate in Syria. They don't want to put themselves out on a limb for the PKK as well. Because the Syrian Kurds are affiliated to the PKK. And yet, oddly enough, of course, the Turks have very close relations with the Kurdish regional government in Iraq, where a huge amount of trade and business is doing, even to the point of opening pipelines. But, I mean, this is a classic Levantine situation with lots of people all with different conflicting interests.
Okay, Mr.
Or facing
Williams.
Up and hiding her cards.
All right, thank you so much. We're out of time. I appreciate you being with us, Mr. Ian Williams, Senior Analyst, Foreign Policy in Focus, out of New York.